akhirah, into the hereafter. So we accept their good deeds, number one. Number two, وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. After that, any shortcomings in their life, because they are humans, they will commit wrong. But whatever small mistakes they will make, we will overlook those wrong. Fi ashabil jannah, they will be from the dwellers of paradise. Wa'ada sidqi alladhi kanu yu'adun. This is the true promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them in the akhirah. And now, in this next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now speaking about the opposite. In the previous verses, Allah Ta'ala was speaking about those who obey Allah also, and they obey the, fulfill the rights of the servants of Allah also. And from the servants of Allah, the parents. This second group are those that they disobey Allah Ta'ala. And not only do they disobey Allah, they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a very high level. They commit kufr. And they disobey and they do not fulfill the rights of the servants of Allah Ta'ala. And even that to the highest level, that they do not fulfill the rights of their parents. Rather, they disobey their parents. They disobey their parents. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ, that the one who says to his parents, أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا, fie to you. أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجَ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, do you warn me that I shall be raised after death when many generations have passed before me? This is speaking about a kafir, a disbeliever. That this disbelieving son or this disbelieving daughter, their parents try to explain to them with much love, with much concern, with much worry of the akhirah, that become a mu'min, become a believer, believe in Allah, accept iman. Because they know what the consequences are if this person, this child of theirs was to die with kufr. And we can also fit this with the believing children, that they are mu'min. But when their parents tell them to do good things, they are not interested. Perform salah, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. Don't listen to music. Don't watch films and movies. These friends are not good for you. Don't take part in drugs, in smoking, in vaping. Don't go to the cinema. Don't go clubbing. So what do the children do? This youth, this 13-year-old, this 15-year-old, this 20-year-old, that I know better, what do you know? I know better. So even this person, what does he say? Uffil lakuma, fie to you. Ata'idanini an ukhraja waqad khalatil qurunu min qabli. Are you saying to me that after I will die, Allah Ta'ala is going to resurrect me again? No, what sort of bonkers is this? This is what he says to his parents. Just like most children do. Either they say it with their tongue, or if they have some nobility, they will not utter it with their tongue, but inside their mind they will be thinking, and what's this 50-year-old man talking about? What's this old woman talking about? You know, this is my youth, this is my time to enjoy life. And he's telling me go to the masjid. He's telling me to sit and read Quran. So they are trying to explain to him, but he tries to explain to them. And he says, are you saying that I am going to be resurrected after I die? When so many people have passed before, right from the time of Adam alayhi salam until now, millions have left this world. Has Allah Ta'ala even resurrected one of them? When nobody has been resurrected, you think I am going to be resurrected? وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ, man says, أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا. Is it that I am going to die and after I die, Allah Ta'ala is going to resurrect me again? No, how is this possible? I will die, I will go in the grave, I will turn to bones, these bones will decompose, they will become dust. How is Allah Ta'ala going to resurrect me again? So Allah Ta'ala says, أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانِ. Doesn't man think, أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا. There was a time when he was nothing, and from nothing we created him. So when we created him, when he was nothing, this time there is going to be something. So shouldn't this be more easier? So in this way, he argues with his parents. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ. That both of them, mother and father, they beseech Allah and they make dua to Allah. There are two tafsirs for this. The first tafsir is that they make dua to Allah means that they make dua to Allah for themselves. When they see the condition of their son or their daughter, they become worried regarding their own iman. And they think to themselves that he is living in the same era as we are. He is living in the same world that we are. He is being influenced by the same people that we are being influenced. But look at his mindset, look at his thinking about akhirah. That he is not prepared to believe that after I die, Allah Ta'ala is going to resurrect me again. So the same could happen to us, that we could, even our mindset could change. So when they see their son or their daughter making such remarks, they make dua and they say, oh Allah, please save us from kufr. And the second tafsir is that وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ. Together with making dua for themselves, at that time they make dua for their son or their daughter. Their son and their daughter is trying to explain to them that there is no akhirah. I am not willing to listen to you. You are foolish. But parents have much love and concern. You can swear at them, you can close the door on them, you can turn your face away from them, you can even kick them and slap them. But they will continue to have a soft corner for you in their heart. A child can be disloyal to the parents, but the parents will never be disloyal to the child. Children can forget their parents, but parents will never forget their children. So even in this condition, when he is treating them in this very despicable manner, the parents make dua. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ. They make dua that, oh Allah, grant him hidayah. Oh Allah, you grant him guidance. And together with dua, they also exert effort. They say, وَيْلَكْ, woe to you. Amin, believe. Become a believer. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. Allah's promise is true. Allah's promise is true. There is going to be a life after death. You will see, meet Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And you will have to answer for how you lived your life in this world. But what does he say? فَيَقُولُ, he says, مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. These are only tales of the old folk. These are all fairy tales you are telling me. That prophets used to come and prophets used to be given kitabs. And they used to say there's going to be a life after death. I don't believe in any of this. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that he saves us from such a mindset. So regarding these people now, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that what will their result be? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ. Such are the people against whom the decree has been issued. What does it mean that the decree has been issued? What decree has been issued? So Allah Ta'ala says in another place, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. We will definitely fill Jahannam with jinn and humans. So this decree has been issued and fixed for such people who disobey Allah and their parents, that we will fill Jahannam with such individuals. Fi umamin, from nations. So fi umamin can mean that different groups in different eras, right from the time of Adam alayhi salam until now, all the different eras, all the different nations, there were groups of people who disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, who disobeyed the parents. And likewise, fi umamin, that in the different parts of the world, you will find large groups of people who disobey Allah Ta'ala. So all of these individuals in the different times and the different places in the world, they will all be placed into Jahannam. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ, who have passed on from the men and jinn. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ, they were all certain losers. They were all certain losers. They have incurred a great loss. Over and over again in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions this about the disbelievers, about those who disobey Allah, that they have incurred a great loss. Why? Why does Allah Ta'ala say khasirin? They are losers, they have incurred a great loss. Because when we come into this world, we are now trading with Allah Ta'ala. We are in a business transaction with Allah. We are all businessmen in this world. So nobody is unemployed here. Now everyone's smiling. Look at the love of the world. Straight away, smile on the face. We are all businessmen. Alhamdulillah. And our asset, our main asset is Iman, which every single person comes with when he comes into this world. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child, when he comes in this world, he comes on this fitra. He has Iman in him. You have Iman. And together with Iman, Iman which is the container. When you go for business, you have containers. Now you have to fill these containers. So what do you fill your container with? With goods. This is the a'mal, the good deeds that you will carry out. If there's no Iman, there is no place for you to fill your good a'mal in. So a non-Muslim, he can be the most charitable person in the world, but he's going to gain nothing in the Akhirah. Because these goods, he will not be able to present them in the court of Allah Ta'ala, no matter how much he gathers. He doesn't have a container. So you have to preserve the container, which is Iman. And together with this container of Iman, the more good deeds you will fill in this container, the more you will be able to present in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And when you will go into the court of Allah and you will present Iman and you will present good deeds, then in return Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give you Jannah. This is the business. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala says that indeed Allah has purchased from the believers in lieu of their lives and their wealth, Jannah. In other words, if you give your time to Allah Ta'ala and you spend your wealth for Allah Ta'ala, then in return Allah Ta'ala will give you paradise. But when will you get Jannah? You will get this Jannah if you present the Iman and you present the good deeds. So you have to preserve this Iman until the time of death. And the way to preserve the Iman is to do as many good deeds as possible. Because when a person has this Iman, this seed, now in order to make this seed grow into a trunk and thereafter for the branches to come out, and then for these branches to have leaves on them and for them to have fruit on them, for this you have to do good deeds. The more good deeds you do, the more your tree will grow. And it's proven that the more the tree grows, the more the roots also spread underground. If the tree, if the branches are not spread out so much, then the roots will also not be as vast. And if the tree spreads out a lot, then the roots will also spread a lot underground. So the more a'mal and the more good deeds a person does and the more he makes the tree spread out, the more stronger the roots will be, which is the iman. And as a result of this, at the time of death, shaitan will not be able to pull this tree out. مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ وَفَرْءُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the example of the kalima is like the example of that tree. The roots are extremely firm and its branches are so much, they have spread so much that they are in the sky. This is how many good deeds this person has carried out. So when the branches have reached the sky, imagine how firm the roots will be. And when the roots will be this firm, there is no way shaitan can take this iman away from you. So when you will go into the akhirah, you will present iman, you will present a'mal saliha to Allah, and as a result, Allah Ta'ala will give you Jannah. And for our encouragement, Allah Ta'ala, He made us the sellers, and He Himself says that I am the buyer. Because the seller, his position is more higher than the buyer. So to encourage us, Allah Ta'ala is saying that you sell your iman and your good deeds and I will purchase it and in return I will give you Jannah and Paradise. So this is a business. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ. Regarding the believers, Allah Ta'ala says, they read Quran, they understand Quran, they practice upon the Quran. And from practice, Allah Ta'ala mentions two deeds. They perform salah, they establish salah, and they spend, sometimes they spend in a way that nobody is aware of their spending. They spend only for Allah. And sometimes they spend in such a manner that other people also see the spending. But even this is with sincerity. Why? Because they want to show others that look, spending in here is a good deed, spend. So they are spending with this intention that if he sees me spending, then he will also spend. So to encourage others, they spend in public also. So they read Quran, they understand Quran, they practice Quran. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ. Allah Ta'ala says, such people can hope for such a trade with Allah Ta'ala in which there will be no loss. No loss. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will give them their reward in full. In full they will get their reward. In this world, maybe the person will give you the amount which that particular product that you are selling is worth. Or it's also possible you will get less. Those who are involved in business know that many times they try to sell something and they don't get that amount which they wanted. Allah Ta'ala is saying that no. Whatever good deeds you will do in the world, I will give you the reward in full. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And I will give you even more on top through my fadl and through my grace. You will get even more in Jannah. How much a'mal will we carry out in our life? And how much will Allah give us in return in Jannah? إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. And He is Ghafoor, He is the All-Forgiving. He is the All-Forgiving. So when you go to Allah Ta'ala with your iman and with your good deeds, how will our iman be? Full of defects, full of faults. And our good deeds? Full of defects, full of faults. So imagine you are presenting to Allah an iman full of faults. You are presenting good deeds full of faults. It should have been and Allah Ta'ala should have said, I can't give you Jannah in return for this. You're trying to sell an item which is full of faults and in return you want Jannah. But innahu ghafoor, He is the All-Forgiving. So He will overlook all of those faults and He will give you Jannah in return. And He is Shakur. He is Shakur, He is extremely appreciative that you do something very small and in return He will give you Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a man was walking and he saw one branch So he thought to himself, if somebody passes by here, he may be caused inconvenience. He may have an accident. So he moved the branch out the way. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ Allah Ta'ala appreciated this action, and as a result, this person was seen walking around in the gardens of Jannah. He is shakur, very appreciative. So this is the tijara and the business for the obedient ones. And the disobedient, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ they are كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ They will incur a great loss. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا For everyone there are varying ranks. Meaning that for everyone there are varying ranks in Jannah or Jahannam. Because of the actions. وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ So that they may earn the full recompense for their actions. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And they will not be shown the least injustice. There will be various ranks. Various ranks. Why? Because even those who will go into Jannah, every single individual, the way he obeyed Allah Ta'ala will be different. You performed 1,000 salah, he performed 2,000 salah. You kept 100 fasts, he kept 101 fasts. So Allah Ta'ala is not going to say that, okay, you kept 100 and you kept 101, so both of you get the same. It's only one fast. No. There is no injustice there. وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ You will get the full reward. So depending upon the amount of good deeds you carried out, the reward in Jannah will be accordingly also. So some will be in a very high rank, some will be in a lower rank. And the same goes for Jahannam. That depending upon how much a person sinned, how disobedient he was to Allah Ta'ala, his rank in Jahannam will also vary. And in Jannah, the highest rank will be at the top. And the lowest rank will be at the bottom. And in Jahannam, it will be the opposite. The one who was the most disobedient will be right at the bottom. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ The hypocrites will be in the lowest portion of Jahannam. That's the most severe punishment. And the one who died as a kafir, but he was the best disbeliever, he will be right at the top. So there will be the great distance, or the greatest distance will be in between the most obedient and the least obedient. The most obedient and the most disobedient. The most obedient will be our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in whom there is only goodness. So he will be right at the top in Jannah. And Shaitan, who is the most disobedient, he will be right at the bottom in Jahannam. There will be the greatest distance between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Shaitan. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتِ Allah Ta'ala says there will be different stages. Now it's up to you. The more good deeds you carry out, the more you can excel in paradise. So every time the thought crosses your mind, let me do this good deed, at that time tell yourself that if I do carry out the good deed, that's me elevating myself in Jannah. So let me do it. Now the final ayah of this ruku. In the final ayah, if we go back, regarding those who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who obeyed their parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned explicitly what their result is going to be. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا That these are the people from whom we accept their good deeds, forgive their sins, and who will be among the people of Jannah. But regarding the second category, those who disobey Allah, they disobey their parents, it wasn't mentioned explicitly as to what their result will be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply hinted towards the fact that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلِ Such are the people against whom the decree has been issued. And كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ They are those who will incur a loss. So now in this last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in explicit terms that what is their result going to be. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. Do not forget the day when those who commit kufr will be presented before the fire of Jahannam. They will be presented before Jahannam. And what will be said to them? أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. You have used up your good things in your worldly life and enjoyed yourself. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْسُقُونَ. So today, you will be recompensed, you will be paid back with a humiliating punishment because you behaved proudly on earth without cause and because you were disobedient. So the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they will be presented in front of Jahannam, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say to them. That today now, you are not going to receive anything. Don't look for any pleasure here in the akhirah, in the hereafter. Why? Because you fulfilled all your pleasures in the world. In the world, when you felt like eating something, you ate it. When you felt like wearing something, you wore it. When you felt like doing something, you did it. You thought how you wanted to think. So in the world, you did what you wanted to do. Now in the akhirah, you will have to do what we are telling you to do. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. This world is a prison for the believer and is paradise for the disbeliever. If in this world you do what you want to do, then in the akhirah you will have to do what Allah Ta'ala tells you to do. And if in this world you do what Allah Ta'ala tells you to do, then in the akhirah you will be able to do whatever you want to do. So when you see a disbeliever or someone disobeying Allah, whether he's a disbeliever, whether he's a believer, whether he's your neighbor, your friend, and you see that he never performs salah, he's never in the masjid, he never obeys Allah, but look at his life, look at his house, look at his car, Allah is giving him everything. Don't be deceived. Allah Ta'ala is giving him everything in this world because Allah Ta'ala has not reserved anything for him in the akhirah. And Allah Ta'ala is giving you nothing in this world because he has reserved everything for you in the akhirah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once walked into the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is living in a very simple manner. His bedding is very simple. There is no luxury. Completely simple room. And such was the bedding that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up, the marks of the bedding were left on his blessed back. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the Rasul of Allah. And you are the best human that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent into the world. And look at Qaisar and Kisra. Look at the emperor of Persia and the Byzantine Empire of Rome. Look at the palaces that they are living in. Look at the silk clothing that they are wearing. Look at the luxury they are living in. Look at the clothing and look at the food that they are eating. Instantly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Afi shakkin anta ya Umar? Oh Umar, are you in doubt? Do you have doubt? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them everything in this world because he has reserved nothing for them in the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving us those things in this world because he has reserved everything for us in the akhirah. This statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had such an effect on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah. It had such an effect. He had such an effect on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Hafs ibn Abi al-As rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that once I was with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or rather on many occasions I would be with Umar radiallahu anhu at the time when he would have his ghada. So the Sahaba, there were two times they would eat. One is ghada and one is asha. Ghada would be like a brunch. We eat four times, breakfast, lunch, tea time, and dinner. And that's the minimum. In between there, you will have many snacks also. And we still say we don't get enough. Innal insana lakafur. This is why the Quran complains that man is very ungrateful. Allahu Akbar. They would only eat twice. Brunch. So breakfast and lunch together is brunch. And thereafter dinner, after Maghrib Salah. Two times they would eat. So Hafs bin Abi al-As says that when I would be at the time of brunch, when I would be with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what would be the food? Sometimes it would be al-khubzu wa zayt. There would be bread, and with the bread there would be olive oil. You go home and bread and olive oil is placed down. You'll be waiting that where's the food? This was the food. And if it was something better, then it would be al-khubzu wal-khal. Bread and vinegar. Bread and vinegar. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house and he asked his beloved wife that, is there anything to eat? So she said, yes, there's vinegar in the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring the vinegar. And with the bread, he ate the vinegar and he said, ni'mal idamu al-khal, ni'mal idamu al-khal. How beautiful and how excellent of a gravy is this vinegar. This was the dinner. We say we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When have we practiced upon this sunnah? You go home and one day eat just roti and vinegar, bread and vinegar. Practice upon this sunnah also. Bread and vinegar. And sometimes, if it was more than this, then al-khubzu al-laban, bread and milk. And more than this, al-khubzu al-qadid, bread and dry meat. And he says, very rarely did I see that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was consuming fresh meat. This was very rare. Once in a while. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would eat, then he would say to the person who is preparing the food that do not sieve the flour. Do not make the flour fine. Because if you make the flour fine, then the bread will be more nice. It will be more tasty. So leave the bran inside the flour. So one day, some thick bread, crumbly bread, was presented to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which you and I would not even classify as edible. But this is Amirul Mu'mineen. If you know who Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, you can appreciate this. The leader of the believers and how much Islam spread during his time. You know, he had the treasures of Kisra and Qaisar, of the Byzantine Empire, the Persian Empire at his feet. He had conquered these lands. If he wanted, he could have lived a life of luxury. But what is he eating? This crumbly bread. So some individuals, they came. So he said to them, that come and sit down with me and eat. So they said, Jazakallah, we're good. They looked at the food and they said, not for us. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to them, that why do you not want to sit and eat with me? So they said, at home there is better food waiting for us. There is better food waiting for us. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abu al-As that, oh Abu al-As, do you not know that if I want, I can eat the best of food. And if I want, I can have the best of drink. I am Amirul Mu'mineen. I can wear the best of clothing. So they said that, yes, but Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, you are somebody You don't indulge in these luxuries. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, do you know why I don't indulge in luxuries? So they said that, tell us, why don't you enjoy in luxury? So upon this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied and said that, I fear that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me less in Jannah because I have already enjoyed my luxuries in this world. And thereafter he recited this ayah that Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. That Allah ta'ala is going to say on the day of Qiyamah to the disbelievers that because you've enjoyed your pleasures in this world, now in the Akhirah there is nothing for you. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I was walking on the street. My wife sent me to purchase some meat. So I purchased the meat. As I was returning, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that, oh Jabir, what are you doing? So he said, my wife told me to purchase meat, so I purchased meat. So Umar radiallahu anhu reprimanded him and said that, oh Jabir, does everything that you wish to eat, are you supposed to put it in your stomach? Is this what a believer does? That he feels like eating this, so he eats it. He feels like drinking this, he drinks it. This is how Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reprimanded Jabir radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, and thereafter he recited the same ayah, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went to Sham. So when he went to Sham, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu presented him with a platter. Such food that Umar radiallahu anhu had not seen such food in his life. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu that, فَمَا لِفُقَارَىٰ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. We are eating, or we are about to eat all this food. What are the fuqara and the poor people going to eat? Or what did the poor people eat? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that, how am I going to make Umar eat this food now? He is my guest. I need to somehow make him eat. So he said, don't worry about the poor. They are already in Jannah, in paradise. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that they ate simple food, and as a result of eating simple food, you are saying that they have a very high rank in Jannah. If we were to eat this food, how are we going to be able to gain that same rank in Jannah as they have? And he didn't eat the food. Does this thought ever cross our mind when we go home at night and we have all the food at our disposal, that I am eating all of this? What about the people in Palestine? When was the last time we thought of the poor people? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, somebody presented him with barbecue. He said, I cannot eat this. Why can I not eat this? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never saw such things in his life. So I cannot eat that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not see. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says to Urwa bin Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala, her nephew, that we would see one moon, we would see a second moon, we would see a third moon. 2 months would pass. And in these 2 months, there would not be a single occasion in which we would cook anything in the house, because there was nothing to cook. So Urwa bin Zubair says, how did you people live? So she said, Aswadain, At-tamar wal-ma. We spent our life on dates and water. 2 entire months. 2 days never passed in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam consecutively when they were able to fill their stomachs. If they fill their stomachs today, then the second day, they will not be able to fill their stomachs. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would teach the people this. This had such an effect on him that he would teach them that we don't live a life of indulgence. We don't live a life of luxury. I could wear the best clothing if I wanted to, but I have patches in my clothes. Patches. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went to receive the keys of Baytul Maqdis, the Christians, it was in their control, but they surrendered to the Muslims. But they said to the Muslims, we will only hand over the keys to the Amirul Mu'mineen, whoever the leader of the believers is. So the message was sent to Madinatul Munawwara that Umar radiallahu anhu, you will have to come. So Umar radiallahu anhu came with his slave. No entourage, No limousines. No big cars. He came in a very simple animal. The most simple animal he could find. And he traveled with only his slave. And he said to his slave, you are also human, I am also human. So some part of the journey I will walk and you will be on the animal. And some part of the journey you will walk and I will be on the animal. When they reached Baytul Maqdis, it was Umar radiallahu anhu's turn to walk. So he was walking and the slave was on the animal. And he had 14 patches on his clothes that he was wearing. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi, he came out to welcome Amirul Mu'mineen. When he saw that this is the condition of Amirul Mu'mineen, he said that, wear something good. And you sit on the animal. And not on this animal, we will get a nice horse for you. Because everybody is waiting. It's a historical moment where the keys are going to be handed over to you. So on that occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned those very historical words that kunna adilla, we were disgraced people. We were disgraced. Nahnu qawmun a'azzan Allahu bil Islam. Allah ta'ala has given us honor through Islam. He has not given us honor because of our horses, because of our cars, because of the clothes that we wear. No, we have honor because we are Muslims, because of our Islam. And as soon as the people will start to look for honor in these other things again, Allah Ta'ala will once again disgrace the Muslims. And that's what has happened today. So nobody is saying that become like Umar and start eating bread and vinegar every single day. But at least have some sort of limits in your life. You have 5 samosas in front of you. You eat 1, 2, 3. Now you feel like eating the 4th one also. Now control yourself. Have some control. Do not let your nafs control you. You control your nafs. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to understand this reality. And may Allah ta'ala save us from being from those people who are extremely indulgent. And may he make us practice upon the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he gave to Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, with which I conclude today's lesson, that إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. That refrain from indulging, refrain from living a luxurious life, because the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not live a life of indulgence and luxury. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the ability. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وعلى آله وعلى الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
رحمة الله.